Warning, Star Trek From the Holodeck contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
Lock it alone!
Fire.
Holodeck 3 program is reinstated.
Open sesame!
Commander Klingon vessel, we are energizing transporter beam. Now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Star Trek From the Holodeck. I am the captain of this vessel, the USS Rain Man Digital, and at the helm is Lieutenant Commander David Sabal. Hello.
Hey, I've been promoted, everybody. I think I've been promoted.
Did you just get podunk?
I turned into Archer for a second. Yeah.
Ooh. I'm a captain of the Enterprise.
I'm a lieutenant now.
I'm going to throw you out
the airlock.
Yeah, the airlock. All right. So today we're going to be talking about Short Trek Season 2, Episode 4, The Girl Who Made the Stars. This was an interesting episode. The episode was essentially an adaptation of the African folklore, The Girl Who Made the Stars.
Yeah.
The director, Olatunde Asunami, and the writer, Brandon Schultz. The synopsis, when a lightning storm in space scares a young Michael Burnham, her father aims to ease her fears with a mythical story about a brave little girl who faced her own fears head on. Olatunde's episodes are always full of heart.
Yes.
Full of heart, and there's a poetic vibe to them. I believe this story is actually, this piece of African folklore was referenced during the second season of Discovery, correct?
Yes, actually, it was supposed to actually be incorporated in the season 2 finale, if I'm not correct, of Such Sweet Sorrow. And Schultz was going to incorporate that type of element to it, but instead they decided to take it out. And because it wasn't used, it was repurposed for Short Treks. And taking a look at like this, it for me, if they were to incorporate this, I think it would have added a little bit more to Burnham's story.
Yeah.
Just giving her that gravitas.
Well, hold on. You're saying this was rumored to be actually a part of one of the episodes for last year.
It was supposed to be actually for the season 2 finale, Such Sweet Sorrow, because it was going to connect Burnham with her father.
Okay.
And I kind of get why it got taken out, because if you think about it, the story is about Burnham and her mother, not Burnham and mothers.
Yeah, in a lot of ways. Yeah,
and not a connection to her father.
And you know what? That's actually a smart call that they pulled it, because even though it would have been nice to learn a little bit more from her past, a little bit more about Burnham's past, they have such a good thing going with the two moms.
Yeah.
You know, the whole parallel there with them.
I think it probably
was a smart call.
Throwing this in, especially if it's coming from her father.
It would have changed the tone a lot.
It would have changed the tone a big time.
Yeah.
But I think that maybe if they incorporated it, if Schultz decided to actually change it to where it was, the story was coming from her mom, it might have worked better. But the way it was originally written was it was going to be her father telling her the story of the girl who created the stars. And I think it would have been really good, especially in the it would have gone well with Burnham's character connecting to stories being told to her by her parents, because you got to remember, even from season one, how did we start? Burnham telling us about a story that her mom shared about Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, but taking that into account, Dave, you would have a lot of mixed signals there in terms of theme and potential literary inspiration, because now suddenly you're showing another story.
Another story.
And now it'd feel like, okay, so where am I supposed to be? If I'm the viewer here, what story am I supposed to be focused on when it comes to the development or theme of the overall narrative of Discovery and Burnham's character arc? And if you were to suddenly throw in this new book and have it play out the way it did in this episode here, Short Treks, and you had it play out in an actual episode of Discovery, it would be a conflict of tone.
Yes,
it would. Absolutely. Olatunde. Let's just call him Olatunde or Olatunde.
I think it's Olatunde.
Olatunde. That's a badass name. Why can't I have a cool name like that? Imagine Olatunde Flores. All right. So Olatunde Asunami has written various episodes of Star Trek. This guy is no newbie. In fact, last year he had written one of our favorite episodes of Short Treks, which was Calypso.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then he had written during the season of Discovery, The Butcher's Knife Cares Not for the Lamb's Cry, What's Past is Prologue, Point of Light, and he directed the season finale, both parts, part one and two, Such Sweet Sorrow. Yep. This guy is a talented mofo.
He is.
He doesn't play around. He is an excellent director. He goes right for the jugular every single time. He knows what to do in order to make this feel like Star Trek. He gets it. He understands it. There's a poetic nuance to every single episode he directs. And yes, you could say, hey, that's the writer that's doing that. And yes, the writer may be putting that in there, but it's all about how the director takes that script and translates it over to the screen. And he does wonders every single time he executes those pages. The writer, Schultz, is also not new, but is. Once again, Star Trek is a bit of a, or Short Treks is a bit of a proving ground for untested talent. Now, Dave, typically I'm not a fan of that because things can go terribly wrong.
Oh, absolutely.
Hey, you've never written an episode of Star Trek? Here you go, write. And then you get awfulness. And it happens a lot on other TV shows where they'll give fresh new talent some hard story to write, and it just does not work. Whereas Brandon has done a pretty good job. This is his first Short Treks episode, but he was mostly a writer's assistant from the very beginning of Star Trek Discovery season one. So he has been in that writing room, but he was a writer assistant, and he did write Star Trek Discovery during season two, a full episode, Perpetual Infinity, which was also a pretty damn good episode.
Oh, yeah, because like, and that's the thing is like, he might not have had the, you know, main experience as a writer.
A credit.
A credit.
Right.
But
it doesn't mean he's not in that room in the trenches.
Exactly. And it also doesn't mean that he is not learning from what he's seeing on set.
Or he could have also written some episodes that just didn't get produced. That does happen from time to time.
Now, it does.
It doesn't happen as much as in the past because in the old days, especially, let's just keep it closer to home here with Star Trek. Back in the day, let's say I'm the showrunner, okay, Dave? And there's five of us in this room right now. I'm like, you write this one, you write this one, you write this one, you write this one, you write this one. And they all come up with a script and I'll be like, okay, I'll produce this one. We'll produce this one. And these two were not going to produce. That could happen more back then because it wasn't necessarily a serialized story in the earlier days of Star Trek. Now that you have a serialized story, if you're writing an episode, chances are it's going to be produced. Otherwise, you're going to have a gap in your story.
Yeah.
So it's a little different. So I don't know. Brandon Schultz could have still been writing something. It just maybe it didn't work out. Maybe he's partnered with somebody. He didn't get the credit. Who knows what happens in those writing rooms at times.
But also, by all account, Brandon also was in that creative writing room for the idea of the Red Angel. Mm-hmm. So this type of story that he wrote for the girl who created the stars fits so perfectly in the concept of the Red Angel story, which honestly, from Discovery Season 2, was one of my favorite story arcs I've ever seen in Star Trek. because it was so interesting because you never knew where they were. You never knew where they were going because they were constantly thinking way ahead of us.
Yeah.
Hey, this is going to be the path that we're going to take. We're going to make them think we're going to go this way, but we're going to actually do something just a little bit different to make this story arc interesting and keep them guessing what's going to happen next. And honestly, if he was part of that writing room, it's amazing that basically we get a chance to see these two writers collaborate today in this short trek.
Yeah. All right. So bringing it back to the source of inspiration for this episode, The Girl Who Made the Stars. If you do not remember the moment in Discovery, legend has it that many, many years ago, the Khoisan people of Africa's Kalahari Desert created the stars. Khoisan folklore says that one evening, a young, lonely girl was dancing around the night fire when she threw glowing embers high up into the sky. The embers remained as a wide, shimmering pathway, illuminating the once pitch-black sky and allowing the girl to visit distant villages when the moon was not shining. This was a powerful episode. Full of heart, as we said at the top of the show, is something that Alatunde does very well. It reminded me of those Pixar short films that premiere. It was
very Pixar-esque.
You know those ones that premiere before Pixar's feature films?
Oh,
those
yeah.
Short stories? It's a beautiful production, very high quality work, exceptional work. And it makes me happy seeing the producers of Star Trek do stuff like this yet again, because it shows us what Star Trek could be as well, or what they could do with the technology of today. We could very well get a Star Trek series that looks just like this. It would work.
And I think that's the whole point of the short trek. I mean, everyone is surprised that in regards to the short treks, every single short trek we've covered, it was to show where Star Trek can go.
I think that is the point, right? Doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's almost like, hey, let's experiment and see what we can do.
And let's see if Star Trek can fit here.
Why must we always fit? It's something I've always said, David. That's why I love this new era of Star Trek. I'm starting to. It took me some time, but I totally dig what they're doing, because why do we always got to be on a starship?
Uh-huh.
Now, that being said, yes, it's a great story, but I find this particular story hard to swallow in the fact that it was produced as an episode of Short Treks, and I don't feel like it's Star Trek.
Because it's so honestly, this is the most different.
And I know I could be contradicting what I just said, but yes, have Star Trek in different locales, but it still needs to be Star Trek. And yes, you can argue that this has the heart of Star Trek, possibly.
Yes, you can.
Because, you know, they threw in the idea of exploration into the story. I mean, I get it. This was the first step of human exploration. That's what they were trying to say. But no, not Star Trek. If they had a deeper connection to Trek canon or lore than just a story like this, then I would say then a story like this would work as an episode of Trek. But just because you use Michael Burnham as a connection and it's a story that her father told her,
it's a very loose connection.
It doesn't make a Trek.
Yes.
There should have been a bit of a deeper connection. Now, that connection could have come in the way of the alien that gave her the light. Do we know anything about that alien? Because I, as a Star Trek fan, did not recognize it.
I didn't recognize it either. And I honestly think that is probably the connection to Star Trek, honestly, that we're looking for. Is the alien in the short trek, it might be an alien that they might make a call back to in the next season of Discovery, which would not surprise me. Because,
well, if they do that, then suddenly we're like, okay, well, there's your connection. But as it is now, Dave, I just don't, even though this is a beautiful story, it really is well written, produced exceptionally well, it isn't Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you agree or disagree?
Currently, right now, I'm with you. I totally agree with you. It's like, it's one of those things that did bother me about this story. It is a wonderful story. It feels very Pixar-ish, which I like, and it kind of shows the potential of Star Trek telling these types of stories, just like what you said. However, at the end of the day, when I stopped watching it, I mean, I was sitting there with my girlfriend watching this, and I said, this feels more like a Pixar movie than a Star Trek film, doesn't it?
And listen, Dave, a Pixar movie could very well be a Star Trek film.
Yes.
But that's...
But
I don't know how to say this because I don't want to shit on this because I did like it, and I don't want to disrespect the director and the writer because they are very talented. I think that's a given. But again, I mean, it's a cute story. It's beautiful. But again, except for the opening shot of a starbase and the story between Burnham and her father.
What did it make? What was it that made it Star Trek?
Yeah, it's not really. And people may say, like I just said, well, the idea of exploration being the first steps of exploration.
Yeah.
But all I saw was this weird like worship of Burnham. And that's the part that I didn't like. You know, this queen, right? You know, the African queen who becomes the first explorer, essentially.
Yeah, and fights off the darkness.
Which I don't have a problem with that. That works. I mean, that's the story. That's the folklore.
Yeah.
But then, like, Burnham's father calls Burnham, you know, my queen. I'm like, here we go with this worship of Burnham, which doesn't, I don't buy it.
I don't buy it either.
And we get that a lot now in a lot of. You know what? I'm not going to go down this route. Well, I'm not going to be this negative. But
it's not about being negative.
I rolled my eyes. I'm like, now go to sleep, my queen.
My queen. And then like.
And I understand that's the black culture. I have a lot of black friends who I have these discussions with about the calling of black women queens, like Oprah is a queen and Beyonce is a queen. And they say, well, it's because of our heritage. You know, our ancestors were kings and queens. And I'm like, okay, but the glorified worship of someone just because of their lineage or ancestry is a bit silly. You know, and I know that's probably sound like an asshole right now.
No, not really, because here's the thing. To back you up on that.
Listen, my family also has blue blood, David. We were Aztec kings, my family. Do I go around saying, you know, requesting that you call me my liege?
My liege. That'd be really weird.
I don't wake my son up for school every morning and say, wake, rise now, my prince.
My prince.
It's fucking silly.
But, like, also on top of that, I think what kind of makes us, me and you, eye roll, too, is I thought about it, and the one criticism we've had about Discovery is Burnham by herself has just been kind of flat.
And maybe,
she really has.
I think
we're more interested in the crew around her.
I think
her.
You're right, David. I think you're right. And it's I was thinking that when I watched this. I was like, I'm not that interested in the girl. I like the story. I like everything that's happening right now, but I just don't care about Burnham. She was a little bit annoying too.
Just like Burnham.
And I'm like, you're annoying right now. I'd be like, you little shit, go to bed. So Dave,
I totally
that's
agree.
A good point, Dave. Oh, of course, you totally agree. You're the one who said it.
Yeah.
You agree with yourself?
I agree with, the more I think about it, because it was like going into the lines of what me and my girlfriend were talking about. Yeah. It's kind of like, what's wrong with this? Is like, it doesn't feel like Star Trek.
Burnham is a character that has felt flat, there's a disconnection there, and I feel like they did wonders during season two, like connecting us a bit more to her.
But that was because we were connected to her through Spock.
With her relationship through Spock.
With Spock.
So, and maybe that's just the problem. She's a character, you're absolutely right, Dave. We don't hate her, but she's the only character that we kind of just don't care about. All the other characters were like, okay, let's learn more about them. We like them. Especially the Empress. I forgot her name now.
Oh, you mean Georgiou?
Georgiou, yeah. I mean, Georgiou. She is so interesting, especially what they're doing with her now with the Mirror Universe version. There's so much there you can do.
And Saru. Saru was the MVP of last season, where he just stole the season from everybody because we all were cheering for Saru to be captain.
Yeah. So I don't want to get into all this too much just because we're supposed to be focusing on Short Treks. But I agree with you, Dave. Burnham's just a character that continues to elude us.
Yeah. Now,
right? Her purpose, her meaning, I don't know how else to put it, but yeah.
Now, here's the thing. In retrospect, when we take a look at this in retrospect after season three, we might actually look at this Short Trek and go, my God, this is really cool now. this story connects so perfectly with season three.
You're right. And retrospectively, we'll go back and
it's one of those short treks that might actually be held up in higher regard.
Yeah. All right, Dave. So give me your final thoughts briefly, because we've already gone a little too long on this discussion.
My final thoughts on this is basically exactly like yours. Like, I liked it. I thought it was a very good story. I love the story. It felt very Pixar-ish, which I'm a big fan of the Pixar type of storytelling. But at the end of the day, it just didn't feel like Star Trek to me, where it was missing something. And then I zeroed in on the fact that, not to sound mean or anything, but I just don't care about the little girl. And that goes into my emotions towards Burnham as a character. Is like, I like Burnham and all, but Burnham's not doing it for me. She's not the type of character that I want to go, I want to know more about you.
She's the lead. She's the lead, arguably, of Discovery. But
her strengths are her connections with
everybody
else.
That's what we care about. She's the first lead actor lead character in Star Trek that we don't just want to see exclusively, because even though we loved all the crew, we would kill for more Picard-centric episodes. We would kill for more Kirk-centric episodes. Archer, he's another story. But But my point is that we've never rolled our eyes at lead character story arcs.
And then we roll our eyes at this one.
Yeah, she's just one of the lead characters that most people seem to be not very drawn to. But you're right. With the whole connection, her connection to the crew is what makes her interesting.
Yeah. Exactly. But the connection to herself, that's
or just herself,
just mean? Herself is it's shallow at best right now. And however, with all that is said, I
wouldn't say it's shallow, Dave. There's a lot there for her character, but there's something off.
Yeah.
I think that's probably a better way of saying it.
That's a better way of saying
it. And I'd have to go back and analyze every episode back to back to find out exactly what it is. But
so with all that said, I would have to give the score of The Girl Who Created the Stars as a 72. That's what I have it written here as a 72. And great showing from Short Treks. I'm really happy with it. I'm still really amazed that I have not ran into a Short Trek episode that I do not like, even this one, because I think this was a really great, this was a cool story. I would actually have like kids sit down and watch this. Now, if I was trying to tell them a story about Star Trek, no, but a simple story about folklore and, you know, a concept of exploration. Sure. It's a fun little
turn. Sure.
So 72 for me for this one.
All right, Dave, I'm going to follow you up with an 87%. I'm not going to take away points just because it's not Star Trek. I feel like the story was quite wonderful. It was very well written. It's a gorgeous production.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't feel like it's Star Trek. So I'll leave it at that. I want to thank everybody for listening to our discussion and review of Star Trek Short Treks, The Girl Who Made the Stars. Thank you, David.
Thank you. Live long and prosper.
I couldn't help but notice your pain.
My pain?
It runs deep. Share it with me.
End simulation.